It may take me a few minutes to get my Texas accent back. But I've got to take care of a little business. Brother Dodd, you just convicted my heart with that message. You see, my wife cuts my hair. And I don't normally give her a tip, so I've asked Brother Russell to take that back. I owe her much more than that.
I was going to say,
that's probably out of her purse, so. I appreciate my wife. July 5th, we celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. Now, I was working in a church in Plano, Texas at the time, and my dad was there, and he's a church planter and also helping other pastors start churches. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but we didn't have an opportunity because I worked on Friday. We got married Friday evening. We were back to work on Monday, you know, if you realize what that was like in the 70s. And so we never took a honeymoon. So this year we decided to take a honeymoon. We've been planning this for years. We went out to the Grand Canyon and saw the Grand Canyon, and we went down to Sonoma. And so it was a blast just being away and getting together. And if you ever get a chance and you haven't done it, I encourage you to do that. What a great God of creation that we have. Beautiful things there. Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to Acts chapter number 3. We're going to get there in just a minute, but I want to give you a little background. Reading the passages in Acts, especially Acts chapter 1 and 2, you realize it's right after Jesus Christ's crucifixion on the cross in the Gospels. And then in chapter number 1, we see one of the mentions of the Great Commission to go into all the world. And he gave that commission to us. And then the instructions were given to tarry at Jerusalem until the power came. In chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit came to give power to Christians that were there. And of course, we know that right now, every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So we have God with us. And in the process of having God with us, and we have the instructions that are there, we're given marching orders to go out and share the gospel with others. So the Great Commission was the instructions, and then the rest of the book of Acts, we see an example of how that Great Commission was carried out. And in chapter number 3, we have a story of a man that needed help, needed somebody to take the word of God to him, but they also had physical needs that were there to be taken care of. So let's read in chapter number 3 a few verses and then go to the Lord in prayer. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We ask you to just take the words of the scripture, take it into our heart. Help us to use the instructions that you have given us. Father, take me out of the way and let your word shine through. We know that there are those here that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't know most of the people in this room, but Father, you know each one of us. And you realize the needs that we have. So, Father, I pray that the Word of God would come forth. We know that there are Christians here that need something in their heart. They need something because you're there with them today. Father, help the Word to go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Riggs had already mentioned about getting his cup full. We had a pastor down in the pastor of the church where I got saved in Springfield. He would talk about the cup, you know, to come to church with your cup turned up. You ever go to a restaurant where you have the cup turned over and they wait, and if you want coffee, you turn it over, right? I think a lot of people come to church with their cup turned over and never turn it over, right? And so they don't come prepared to receive what God has for you. Everyone that's here, including myself, are here because God has a purpose. You should not walk out that back door the same as you came in. There ought to be something from the Word of God, something the Holy Spirit deals with you about in your life to use, whether it be from the Sunday school hour or from the preaching hour, from the Word of God, something that blessed your heart from a song that is sung. You ought to be different walking out that you come in. My wife and I, one of the things that we do each morning before church coming on Sunday morning is we'll have the time of Bible reading and prayer. We're reading through the Bible chronologically. We're a little behind because of not being together a couple of times, but we're in the book of, I never say this right, Habakkuk. Did I get that right? I'm a Bible college graduate, and I don't know all the words. Habakkuk, we just got through reading Habakkuk, but we'll read the words together. And on Sunday morning, we will pray. When we pray for our kids, we pray for our grandkids, we pray for whoever's preaching at the service that particular day, and we pray that in the busyness of Sunday, that God gives us an opportunity to worship Him. That He'll fill our cup and our cup will come turned over. I challenge you on Sunday mornings, before you come to church, to bow your head and ask God to prepare your heart to receive what God has for you. It'll make a total difference in your attitude when you come and you sit in church, because then you're ready to hear what God has for you. Reading this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter number 3, when you go through this, you see this man, the man that has a great physical need. He hasn't been able to walk since he was born. He was over 40 years old. He had an opportunity to sit at the gate as people came in, at the gate that was beautiful. So right there beside this beautiful gate, you find a beggar expecting alms. And as people come in, they would give him something. And he was hoping just to be able to get through the day. And here comes James and John. Peter. Peter, you look at him, and his life was like this. Up and down and up and down. By the way, James wasn't there. I threw him in just for the... Peter and John. And you see Peter, and you say, how can God use somebody that denied him and cursed? How can God use somebody? It's because there was a change in his life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Seeing the risen Lord, the one living right in front of him after he saw him being crucified on the cross of Calvary, that made a change in him. Now, Peter from that point on wasn't a perfect man, but he was willing to be used by God. And he was willing to take the name of Jesus wherever he went. If you go through, we're going to read through this passage, several passages here and in chapter number 4. And you're going to see a word that stands out. That word is name. The name of Jesus. And we saw it in the healing of this man. It says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'll give to you. And in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The name in this particular period of time was very important. If you think of it this way, when a ruler handed out a decree, a lot of times he would have a signet on his ring. And they would roll that scroll up, they put some wax on there, and he would press it, and that would stand for his name and for his authority in giving his authority to the person that took the instructions. The word name stands for authority. We have no authority apart from what Jesus Christ has given us. It's through His authority that this man was raised. It was by His power, not by our power. So when we go out, it's under the name of Jesus. Now, some people take the name as a magic word and say, I want this done in the name of Jesus, so God is required to do it now that I use those hocus-pocus words. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that there is authority in the name of Christ. So here we find this man. He comes, he's sitting, he's waiting, and Peter and John come, and they give him what they have. Folks, you can't give somebody something that you don't have yourself. You've got to have the salvation in Jesus Christ. Most of this message is pointed toward Christians, But if you're here this morning and you've walked in here, maybe you thought you were okay. You're a pretty good person. Man, you live a good life. You take care of you. You help people that are poor. Let me tell you, salvation is the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. And expressing your faith in Him and accepting Him as your Savior. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, today could be the greatest day of your life. Accepting Christ as your Savior. Look, if you will, verse number 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. His immediate need was not his most important need. His immediate need, he thought, was to get up and walk. In fact, he even thought that the only thing that anybody could do for him was just to give him some money, right? To give him alms. But the immediate need was also for him to stand and get up and walk. By the way, this is prophesied in Isaiah 35, verse 6, where it says, in these days they shall be leaping, leaping. Jesus Christ coming was a fulfillment of prophecy. Everywhere you go is a fulfillment of prophecy. There's never a prophetic statement that has not either been fulfilled or is going to be fulfilled out of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are true. It's amazing. The last, 20 years, I love to study history. I love to study archaeology. And so many findings have been discovered in the nation of Israel, where they've dug up and they've got, and in our hallways at our church, we have got replicas of certain things. For a long time, they would say, there was nobody as a person named David in the Scriptures. And then all of a sudden, they found a place close to where Dan is, and there was a steel, which is a piece of rock that has been carved. You know what they find? They find the name of David, the king. There's been literally hundreds of findings in the last 20 years. People would say validating the Bible. I say the Bible validates what they found. The Bible's always true. So he stood up. He walked. There's a change when salvation comes. There's a change of joy. There's a change in your life when salvation comes. And it should motivate you to do the things that God wants you to do. The world cannot deny this change in this man. He came before the Sanhedrin. Turn to chapter number 4, verse number 1. We're going to skip down. If you read the rest of the passages in there, what you find is a sermon that was detailed that Peter stood up and began preaching to those that saw this event take place. And it says that there were thousands that came to know Christ as their Savior. And so Peter, now the disciples have become a threat to the religious power of the day. And so they bring Peter before the Sanhedrin. They took him and stood before them to answer why he was preaching in the name of Jesus. Now specifically, it was the Sadducees that did this, because Peter began to talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Peter saying this and then the people in the crowd saying, well, that didn't happen. Yeah. The fact is, so many people believed because they knew it happened. He was seen of above 500 people at one time after the resurrection. Yeah. They knew it had happened. This stuff was not done under a rock somewhere. It was revealed to everyone around. And then they began to tell them about the faith in Jesus Christ that was for their salvation. And thousands believed. Now the Sanhedrin, some of the same people who brought Jesus up for crucifixion, now have Peter and John. Look at verse number 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, they denied the resurrection, came upon them, being grieved. That word grieved means worried, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now let me say something. We live in a messed up world. I was going to take a show of hands, but seeing I don't know who you are, how many of you believe we live in a messed up world? Okay. All right. You know why it's messed up? It's because people do not believe that one day they're going to have to give an answer to a holy God. that the resurrection, that they're not going to have to stand before God and give an account for their life. And so they have to come up with all kinds of means that they can deny God and his resurrection. So here is the word that's here. They said that through Jesus, the resurrection, that we've got to stop that because it'll take away our power. Verse 3 says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold in prison until the next day, for it's now eventide. Howbeit, many which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. You see, the word is preached. Amen. Was preached in the name of Jesus. Preached that Jesus was the one for salvation. Turn back, flip down to verse number 6. It says, and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas. Now Caiaphas, if you go back, you find out he was one of the ones of the Sanhedrin that Jesus stood before. Same people that's here. You know, whenever it worries somebody that truth comes out, I kind of have a problem with that. I talked about the messed up world. Our messed up world, people don't even know what a woman is. They don't know what marriage is. They don't understand that what God has said in his word, whether it be about science, whether it be about theology, whether it be about history, it's absolutely true. And it bears itself. I grew up in the 70s. I went to public school, never went to private school. Never went to Christian school. I was in church all the time, but I was in public school. And you go to public school, they'll teach you evolution, right? So I go to Bible college knowing that I've been in a church that taught creation. And I, in my first year, I'm going, wait a minute. How can this be true and this also be true? It can't. I had to get in there and dig it out myself. I had to get in there and say, well, I've got, man, this is bothering me. And so in my late teens, I got married at 19, so in my late teens and early 20s, I found out something. That science shows that the Bible is true. If you don't believe Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11, how can you believe John 3:16? If you can't believe part of it, by the way, I ministered in Roswell, New Mexico for a while. And we were there for 6 years. And our Spanish pastor would usually take me out as his silent partner. That was easy because I didn't know Spanish. And then I would take him out as my silent partner. I was a youth pastor at that time there. And so we went to one house. We had one young lady that had come to know the Lord as her Savior. We had a great children's ministry, teen outreach, that kind of thing. She came and she accepted Christ as her Savior. The mom had never come before. It's a single parent home, okay? And so we decide every time we have someone like that come to know Christ, it gives us an opportunity to go out to the bus kid and try to lead the parents to the Lord. This is what your child did. This is what the decision they made. Then we talk to them about baptism. You do the things that you do. So we go together, and at this time, Brother Ernie was my silent partner. And so we're sitting on the couch across the room from this lady and start talking about her daughter and the accepted Christ as your Savior. And I began to witness. And I said, well, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And she said, parts of it. That's when my silent partner spoke up. He says, it's not a smorgasbord. You can't take and pick what you want. This is the Word of God. The very Word of God. And you can count on it. My wife and I are very involved in marriage ministry. We have a program, and she'll mention this in the ladies' thing. I'm stealing your thunder, honey. She's going to repeat it to you ladies. We have a program that's called Real Essentials. And I notice we got some teenagers over here. Real Essentials is teaching relationship values to young people. We have our junior and seniors just went through that, where you teach them the proper relationship. You teach them the sequence of success. Get an education, right? Get an education. Get a job. Get married and have kids in that order. Now, let me tell you, you know what the research shows? It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. If you do it in that order, you have a better than 99% chance of staying out of poverty. You know why? The Bible's true. The Bible's true. So we teach things like that to young people. Then we have the Start Smart program, which is premarital mentoring. My wife and I, we sat down together with the couple across the table from us, and we spent about five sessions, going through things that a future married couple should go through. They take an inventory of about 100 and I don't know how many questions, dealing with all kinds of subjects. They take the husband, future husband or wife, take it separately, and then we get it put together to see if they agree or if they agree with the research. All right? And then we get a chance to sit down with them. We have Adventures in Marriage for regular married people out there to help them through. And we have a Hope Weekend. The Hope Weekend, we're not quite trained on that yet, but the Hope Weekend is for couples that have divorce papers in hand. That weekend has an 87% success rate. That is just amazing. The Adventures in Marriage, you know, the government, the military pays them to put couples in the military through that. It's just getting started in that area of Southeast, but it's spreading because it's so important for military families that struggle so much. And so there's opportunities for us to minister to families. Why? Because this is true. It doesn't matter if you're talking about marriage, talking about science, talking about history, talking about the Word of God, because He knows. All right, that wasn't even in my notes. What happened here? Look at verse number 9. Well, let's go to verse 7. I'm sorry, I want to read down through that because it all goes together. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name? Remember, I told you look for that word. What name you have done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, Texas, there's somebody from Texas there, you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And by the way, if you are whole spiritually, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've got a home in heaven, the only way that has happened is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You don't come to God on your terms. You come to God on God's terms. That's an opportunity because there's no, by the way, we can't preach. We can't, Brother Riggs, we can't preach the gospel to the wrong person. We can't. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have the gospel to preach to anybody. By what name? The name of Jesus Christ. Boldness to speak. And that's really what this is all about. I'm getting to the very point of what the message is about. We talk about the name of Jesus. You know, the world out there, if you can be called a man of faith or a person of faith, and it doesn't offend anybody. You can even believe in a God, and they don't get offended.
That's true.
But when you say the word Jesus, and it's not a cuss word, you say the word Jesus, and that He is the power in your life, and by His name you do what you do, they're offended by that. Verse number 12 of this chapter. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. They say, you are intolerant. Well, tell me another faith that is not intolerant of us.
That's true.
They would say, you can't go to heaven because you weren't baptized in our baptistry.
Wow.
Did I offend anybody with that?
That's true.
Isn't it the truth?
You
can't go to heaven because you don't do this list of things and pray however many times a day toward a particular direction, and then maybe you'll make it. Tell me other faith when you go to them, you say, Oh, let's see. Who can I use? I'm going to leave you up here alone. Brother Cobb, stand up. Thank you so much for volunteering. Can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven?
Yes.
How can I do that?
Because the Word of God tells you you can.
All right. All right, you go to somebody else. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm not going to pick on anybody else. You go to somebody else of another faith. How can I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? Well, if you're a good person, if you keep the laws, if you do everything right, and that means I'm going to go to heaven. Well, maybe. You go knock on a door and you say, do you know for sure that you have a home in heaven if you were to die right now? You know the one, number one answer? Well, I hope so. I hope so. I know so. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we say we must be saved. Let me challenge you. Peter and John. Now, Peter was bold in certain ways, but not like this before the resurrection. Man, he took the sword out, chop off the soldier's ear, right? Oh, he's bold. I'll never deny you. Well, that worked, didn't it? But now he's standing before the Sanhedrin, the very ones where Jesus was when he was standing outside denying. And now he's bold. He's bold. You know our problem? And by the way, I thought everybody out here was going to come up on the platform when you said, I want all our missionaries to come up. Because you're all missionaries. If you know the Christ is your Savior, you're a missionary. You're a sent one. But I understand what you were asking. Boldness. Are you going to be bold? Tell you two stories. I'm almost done. Okay, the Methodists are getting ahead of you today at the restaurant. Two more stories, all right? When I was in Roswell, I was a staff member there. I was a youth pastor and music director. And one day I'm in the office, and Roswell can be quite a violent town. So all the doors are locked, and you have to go out and buzz people in, that kind of thing. And so I'm there, and I hear the buzz at the door. So the brave person I am, I go to the door. I was the only one there. And then I open the door, and I recognize the guard from across the street. Now, the church, Tabernacle Baptist Church, was right across the street from the Goddard Space Museum. And Roswell's where he did his rocket research. So they got a whole museum across the street from our church. And I would see him walking around. And see if I can get this out of my pocket. Got a track. Most tracks have a place at the bottom to fill out your name. Did you pray this prayer? You know the ones I'm talking about? Prayer of repentance that he accepted Christ as a Savior. He brought this track, and someone had been given the track and had thrown it on the ground. He went walking as his guard. I'm sure part of it to keep him from being bored. He's picking up trash, right? He picks that up and begins to read it. I'm standing at the door not being able to understand a bit of Spanish, and he doesn't understand a bit of English. He has it filled out. He points, says, me. I take that track, I give it to our Spanish pastor, and he became one of the strongest members of the Spanish congregation, Amen. Tabernacle Baptist Church. Amen. You don't know what your witness does. When I moved to Orlando, I became the pastor of Crean Drive Baptist Church before we merged our congregations together. And at Crean Drive Baptist Church, man, we had dropped down. There was about 20 people when I came. And I had I would go out and go knocking doors, right? Well, I had two older ladies. Boy, I say that. They're probably about my age now. We had two young ladies. And by the way, hold that story for a minute. My wife says that if people laugh at what I say, it's sympathy laughter. I understand that. Two ladies, and they would go with me. They would do one side of the street, and I would do the other side of the street by myself. We went one day. They knocked on the door. We had a flyer I'd produced, and they knocked on the door. Nobody was at home. They put that flyer in the door. There was a couple that lived there. They were going through a tough time. They weren't married. Man, their relationship was rocky. And the next Sunday, the lady drug her boyfriend to church, sat on the back row. And like in any church, you know, especially a small church where you're just beginning to grow, you go visit everybody, right? And so Thursday, my wife and I went to visit them. We walk up to the door, and there's a rat in a cage at the front door. I'm thinking, what kind of visit? I've been at a lot of visits. I've never been one with a rat in a cage on the front porch. We walk in, and there's this big aquarium with a huge snake. I'm not a snake fan. But we went in, began to talk to him. Come to find out, the woman was saved through the bus ministry up in Kentucky. And she had drugged her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was like, what are they doing here? I began to give the gospel to him. He said, no, I don't want any of that. Well, they started coming. Hear a gospel every service. You could watch Eric, and he'd be back on the back pew just holding on like that when invitation time came.
Seen that?
Well, I got tired of that one time. I said, that young man needs to accept Christ as a Savior. By this time, they had moved to the west side of town over just near 408 and the turnpike, in that area. And so I said, okay, it's time. So I went to their apartment. I knocked on their door, and I walk in, and I said, Eric, I need to talk to you. I said, you need to know Christ as your Savior. He was going through a tough time. Gave him the gospel scriptures. He came to know the Lord as a Savior. You know what that started? That started with a flyer where nobody was at home, stuck on the door. How many of you are going to go out to eat after service? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. I think we're going out, aren't we? Yeah, okay. I challenge you, either today or the next time you go out to eat, when you begin to order and the waiter or waitress is there, to say, we're fixing to pray to Jesus. Is there something we can pray with you about? You know what that takes? Boldness to pray in the name of Jesus. It's a small thing. By the way, don't go without a track. Don't go without a witness. I picked up some of your cards in the back, some of your hope cards. Yeah, we've got some of the business cards. Don't go anywhere without a track to be able to give somebody. You can be gassing up at the gas station and the person on the other side, normally you're cordial and you say, hello. Say, hey, how are you doing? Can you read this when you get a chance? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what that's going to do.
Right,
now that's a certain level of boldness. Now the next step is to give your testimony to somebody. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. Every Christian ought to know their testimony. There's two things every Christian can do. It says, well, I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't do anything for the Lord. You can pray. Everybody can pray.
That's right.
And you can be a witness with your own personal testimony.
Amen.
Well, what about boldness? Has God changed your life enough, like he changed Peter, to be able to stand up with boldness in the name of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Right.
Has God changed you where you can stand up for him? Because he stood up for you. I told you this part of the message was to Christians. What is your boldness level? Maybe right now, the only thing you feel comfortable with doing is handing a tract. Do it. But seek toward boldness where you can speak the name of Christ. Jesus did something for you. Should not you do something for Him? Should not you be the one to share in the joy that you have in Christ Jesus? And that's not easy. But you are a missionary. This is a missions conference. If we go through this week and changes aren't made, it's a waste. I don't think it's going to be a waste. I think that we're going to see victories here. It is about money for foreign missions. But you know, missionaries, stand up. All the missionaries, stand up. Missionaries and wives, stand up. Do you know what? They depend upon you to be their missionary here. Because they can't be there and here at the same time. You are their missionary on their foreign field. They are your missionary on their foreign field. Thank you so much. You may be seated. So what kind of missionary are you? What kind of boldness do you have to declare the name of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for sister churches that share the gospel of Jesus Christ and have a desire for missions both locally and around the world. Father, I don't know what goes on in the heart and mind of this church and this people, but Father, you do. The time of my preaching is over with. The time of the preaching of the Holy Spirit in the heart is for you right now. So Father, I pray that you would do your work, as I know you will. But Father, also help us to respond to the Spirit in our life. Father, help us to have boldness. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around,